Oh, gratefully sing His wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We are in our I Love Sundays series. Today we are talking about how Sundays have the potential to change your whole week. That when we get this right, when we come together, when we do Sundays right, when we're doing it with our families, when we're being intentional about it, it has the potential to set your week up to be a fantastic week. Now, you don't have any control over what's going to happen at work, what's going to come during this week. We don't have control over those things. But what we do have control over is how we engage and prepare and plan and be part of what God is up to in our church on Sundays. And so that's a really cool thing. As I was thinking about that, I made a list of things that I love this week. I don't know if you ever just sat down and kind of thought through or written down and made a list of things that you love, right? So I'm making this list. It includes my wife and my children, right? I have to say that because they're here. But, good weather, right? Or even rain, right? We love rain. Vacation, you know, for me, maybe it's golfing, reading, and then those Sunday afternoon naps in the middle of the football games, right? When it gets a little slow. And then you wake up because the crowd's roaring because something exciting happened and you watch the instant replay, right? And then you can just conk right back out. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And if football is too exciting, you put on like a PGA tournament and it just puts you out really quickly, right? Right? So that's my bedtime routine, is getting Jim Nance on, and just his voice just puts me to sleep. So if you don't know who that is, you don't watch very much golf. So as we think about this, and we're kind of getting into this series, I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to do something. To think about things that you love. Think about things that you love. And here's what I want to do. I want you to just take, we're just going to, so be thinking about these things, and we're just going to take 30 seconds at most, maybe even a little bit less than that, right? So, and you can do this at home, those of you who are watching at home.
Make a list of things that you love here.
Turn to a neighbor, and in 30 seconds or less, tell them three things that you love. And let's say three things that are not spouse or kids that you love, all right? Because that's cheating, right? That's too easy, all right? So three things that you love that's not, all right? So ready? All right. Okay, so go find, you know, get somebody there and share three things that you love, all right? Okay. Okay, all right, let's bring it back. Now, here's what I'm going to see here, all right? We'll see how many brave souls we have this morning, or just really honest people, or people who are not afraid to hurt my feelings, right? All right, so did anybody include Sundays in it? All right, we got one bold person to say yes, they did. All right, okay, thank you, Lynette. Well, one of our hopes, one of our goals, one of our desires is that through this series, you can really honestly be able to say, I love Sundays. That you can say, I love Sundays. That you can tell other people, I love Sundays. And be able to embrace that and own that and meaningfully say that. Some of you have been able to plug into our small groups that are going deeper and connecting during the week. So we've had week one of those small groups as they are going through, and they're going through with this little study guide here that you see up here. And so what I want to say about the study guide is really we want to invite everybody to stop by the table and grab one of these study guides. Whether you're able to get into a small group or not, we want you to have the study guide so you can study along. But we would love for you to connect with those small groups. We have only one of them that is full. The others have some room. So we still have an opportunity. If you missed out, maybe you were traveling a bit and you just got back and you're like, oh my goodness, what? There's small groups now. You can stop by and connect with Lynn at the table in the foyer and find out about what small groups are still available. And you can still jump in on those. And that's where these books are at. So grab a book, look at the small group, see if they work for you, and so you can do a little more in-depth study along with that. You know, it really is an exciting, a powerful, a dynamic thing when we are all studying the same thing, when we are all wrestling with the same things as God is working and teaching us and leading us in there, and hopefully what you get here in our times on Sunday morning together as some practical thoughts in these areas is helpful and meaningful as we go through this study. So as I said, our goal is to be able to say with meaning that we love Sundays. Amen. So today, as we think about Sundays changing your whole week, we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 58, just verses 13 and 14. Gary read it for us earlier, you're welcome to turn there. We'll have verses on the screen as well. And before we get into the text, let's just pause for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be your church gathered together in this place, Lord, to seek you together. God, to wrestle with what Sundays mean for us, how you are at work in us. And so, God, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts in this. Lord, deepen our understanding of what it is that you want to do in our lives, in our families, our homes, in our church, in our community, in our world. So, God, we just give you all the thanks and praise in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, three things that we're going to talk about how Sundays can change your whole week. The first one is this, that we are changed by God's rhythm. Changed by God's rhythm. You heard me talking to the kids about it earlier. This rhythm that God put into his creation of 6 days of work and a day of rest and worship. All right? So that's what we're thinking about here. So we go to Isaiah 58, verse 13, and it says there, if you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing whatever you want on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. And we're just going to hit a pause button there in that verse. So, as the creator, the author of life, the creator of all the... God established this pattern, this rhythm of rest and work, rest and work. He is the one who established what is the proper use for each day. It's not up to us to decide why God created one day and why God created another day. God is the one who established the purpose of that, and we see that in Genesis. In fact, the psalmist declares this in Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is the one who establishes. He gives us each day. Each day is a gift. It's a blessing. And he is the one who establishes the purposes for those individual or particular days in that. So for us to do whatever it is that we want on a day that God designed for worship and rest, God says that is desecrating that day, desecrating something that the Lord has made. He says, don't desecrate the Sabbath. So for us to decide that that day of rest and worship is for us to catch up on this, that, and the other thing, for us to do this and skip out on what God says, that's desecrating it. Now, when we think about it, it doesn't mean that Sunday, it doesn't mean that Sunday is any holier than any other day. And here's what I mean by that. It just means that we don't get to determine what purpose the day has. That's God's role. Let's go to Exodus 20. Let's go to Exodus 20. And I'll try to unpack this a little bit. Why we can say that each day is holy. That this day is not necessarily any holier than any other day. So in Exodus 20, we read about the Sabbath. Right? Verse 8, this is the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and declared it holy. So here we see there's a clear connection between the command of the Sabbath and the pattern that God created in Genesis with the creation, right? He gives the reason for the Sabbath is because of how God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, we talk about this a lot. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Did God get to the point where he was like, whew, that's a lot of work. And the union says, I get a day off. So I'm taking the day off, right? No, no. God doesn't tire, but God took a day of rest to establish the pattern for us to follow. It was his idea. So why is it that we can say that this day is no more holy than any other day? I would say because of this. This word holy. Holy means dedicated. It means dedicated. All right? So if something is holy, it is dedicated to its purpose, to the purpose that was established for it. So when we think of, and we read in the Old Testament, things like the tabernacle, and it would say, and the holy objects. The only thing that made those objects holy is that they were dedicated to be used in the tabernacle. They were no different than the cooking utensils. I mean, these are like forks and spoons and bowls that were used with the sacrifices and the preparing of the food and all of that stuff that happened in the tabernacle. They were holy because they were dedicated to their purpose. And I think one of the problems that we have as we think about our week in our culture and we think about the different days is we struggle with the purpose for those days. And oftentimes when we talk about it, we say, well, Sunday has a special purpose. Yes, it does. Because the other days don't share that same purpose. It is the only day that is set aside for that purpose. But that doesn't mean that the other days don't have a purpose. They do. What was the purpose that God established for the other days? To work. And work is a good thing. God established work before sin entered into creation. What did he tell Adam to do? To tend the garden, to care for it, to work. So work is a good thing. And God didn't only establish the purpose for a Sabbath in creation, he also established the purpose of work and gave us that pattern. And so each day has a purpose. Each day is holy in that it is dedicated to the purpose that God has for it. And we need to embrace that, because if we do that, then the purpose for Sunday begins to become even more clear. The purpose for this Sabbath day, this day of rest and worship, becomes even more clear. Second idea that we can be changed by is by God's reasons. The reasons why God does what he does and says what he says to us, right? So Isaiah 58 again, the second half of verse 13, it says, if you honor it, referring to the Sabbath, by not going your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or talking business. So there are three things in this verse, three ways that we can honor the Sabbath, all right? So first is not going your own ways. Honoring the Sabbath is an issue of submission. It's an issue of submitting to God's authority over this. That God is the one who has established the purpose for it, and I have to accept that. So do I not only trust in God's rhythm, that his rhythm is best for me, or do I believe that his reason for this rhythm is also for my good? Am I trusting that God's reason is for my good, that this rest that he calls me to, this rhythm of work and rest, is for my good? If I see Sabbath as God trying to keep me from something, then I'm doubting God's goodness to me. See, if I think God is withholding something from me, then I'm saying, well, God's not really good. But if I see Sabbath as God's gift to me, then I am believing that he wants something good for me. And unlike me, who's famous at giving bad gifts, there's some stories there I won't dive into because they're a little painful for my wife on my gift giving. But God is an excellent gift giver. And when we see that day of rest, that day to pause, to recenter as a gift from a good gift giver, not as a cruel parent withholding something good from us, then it resets our thinking because we're looking at it from God's perspective. So God's reason. Second thing given is not seeking your own pleasure. Not seeking your own pleasure. I had to do a little research on this. So from what I came across, Americans are now spending on recreation activities somewhere in the range of $600 to $800 billion annually. That's a lot of money. We love our activities. We love our outdoors. We love to go and to recreate and to, whether it's golfing, running, hunting, fishing, whatever it is, kayaking. Thanks, Fred, for the kayaks, by the way. Whatever it is, we love doing it. To the point where we are now spending more money on the equipment and the experiences of recreating than we do on pharmaceuticals and fuel combined, if you can imagine. Wow. Now, if you are gainfully employed and you work 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, when do you have time for all of that recreating? Well, isn't that what God made the weekends for? Is it? What did the verse say? Not seeking your own pleasure. Recognizing that while those activities are fun, and God is not opposed to us having fun, there is a greater purpose that God has established for the day of rest and the day of worship. And so what often happens in our culture is this. We get to the weekend and we pack the weekend in with everything that we can do that we love. We're going to barbecues. We're getting family get-togethers. We're kayaking. We're fishing. We're going to football games, soccer games, whatever it is. And we do 2 days of just wearing ourselves out. And then we drag our sorry selves into the office on Monday morning at a job that we resent because it prevents me from recreating. And that's generally how a lot of people today in our country live their life. Work is seen as a necessary evil that I only have to do in order to have enough money to buy the toys that I want to fulfill my unfulfilled desires on the weekends. And then I suffer through work. And that's how a lot of people live their life today. That's why it is also important not just to see today as a day that God has dedicated for worship and rest, but that those other days, God is equally dedicated for work, and that work is a good thing. They go hand in hand, this rhythm that God has and God's reasons for it. And so if we can understand that Monday is a good day, and I know some of you are like trying to shoot lasers through me right now saying Monday is a good day, but Monday is a good day, then we are more willing to set aside time to rest in the way that we should on Sunday so that we are ready to give ourselves on Monday to our work, right? That we are energized and able to embrace what God has for us. And so then when we do that and we do it fully, the last thing becomes easy, right? Or the last thing in this verse, sorry, I got ahead of myself, the talking business, the dealing with that on the Lord's day, on that day of rest and worship, we don't need to worry about that because we have given ourselves to those days to embrace the work that God has for us those other 6 days, and we are trusting God with the results of that. And so when we choose to rest and worship on this day and not worry about our business, knowing that that will be taken care of. Because if I do Sunday well, I will be so much better the rest of the week at my job. I will be energized. I will be happier. I will be more fulfilled because I know that God has given this to me. And so we are not consumed or obsessed with it on that day. About this time last year, I had to start getting really honest with myself. I was getting burned out. I was getting short with my family. Anger was becoming an issue again. If you don't believe me, there's a dent in the wall over at the parsonage. Probably still there, right, Vince? I should sign it. That one was from me. Because I was just struggling. And I had to get really honest. And I took some time away and went on a couple of spiritual retreats, spent some time talking with people, working with my counselor. And one of the things that I realized is I had to get really honest about my Sabbath. See, for some of us, it's a little bit different. Like the Levites in the Old Testament that, you know, it's pointed out that, hey, they're actually working on the Sabbath, right? So we understand that there is that need that happens, all right? And so part of my responsibility that God has called me to do is to help facilitate a day of rest and worship for everybody in the congregation, which makes it a day of work for me. So for me, Sabbath is a different day. And it was Friday. For a long time, it was Friday. And that goes way back to when our kids were at a school. There was a 4-day school week, and the kids were off on Friday, so it made a lot of sense. But I had to get really honest with how my weeks were working. And that by Thursday, I was pretty wiped, pretty tired, and it was really easy for me to just say, you know what, I'll just come back and finish this up in the morning. And many Fridays, I was here on what was to be my Sabbath, but I was putting in a couple of hours wrapping up things so I was ready for Sunday. And, God really convicted me on that. And I made a change. And I remember telling those of you who were here last November that I got to make a change. And I changed that to Mondays. Now, I'm not saying that I do Sabbath perfectly. I don't. But the temptation to work on that is pretty much gone. And guess what? There is still enough time to do what needs to be done, to communicate with the people I need to communicate, to do the work that God has for me to do in the days that He's ordained for me to do it in. And I get that Sabbath rest. And guess what happened? When I started doing that, over time, I started finding that I was more patient, that I was kinder, that I wasn't as short with people, that my anger was coming under and able to control that, regulate my emotions more. Sabbath rest makes a difference. And I've seen it in my life that when I do it well, the rest of my week is so much better. Now, the American concept of that is counterintuitive because in America, we think, well, if you can get some stuff done that day, then you have less to do the rest of the days. But listen, it never works out that way. You will fill the rest of those days with just as much other stuff. We have to set those boundaries for ourselves. Your employer is not going to set the boundaries for you. Your wife is not going to set the boundaries for you. Hopefully she'll respect them if you set them. Your husband's not going to set the boundaries for you. We have to do those for ourselves, right? Last thing is that we are changed by God's relationships. Changed by God's relationships here. Let's look at verse 14. It says, "Then you will delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride over the heights of the land and let you enjoy the heritage of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now here, verse 14 speaks of the benefits for God's people when they obey and honor the Sabbath as God had invited them to do. Now, it might be a bit of a stretch in the text here, but I think I see this benefit of relationships in the text. And in addition to seeing it, it also starts with an R, which my other points had R's in it, so it worked really well. Okay, so just go with me on this. When the text reads, "Enjoy the heritage of your father Jacob," there, what comes to mind? I'll tell you what comes to mind for me. I think that that is a reference back to God's original covenant that he made, his covenant promise with Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, right? The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God had made this covenant. And when we go back to Genesis 12, let's look at Genesis 12. We can read that covenant that God made with Abraham. And it says this, says, "The Lord said to Abram," this is before God changed his name to Abraham, "to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And then when you fast forward a little bit into Genesis 15, God restates it in some different words and recommits in this with Abraham. And it says, he took him, meaning God took Abraham outside. Here he was talking to him as a person would talk to another person and said, "Look at the sky, count the stars. If you are able to count them, your offspring will be that numerous." Because Abram was like, "God, you made this really great promise to me, but I don't even have a kid. I don't even have my own heir. So how do you turn me into a nation if I don't have an heir?" And God says, "Your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky." Now, we often focus on, in the covenant to Abraham, the land, the promised land, the land that Israel has. And that is an important part of it. But there is more to that. It was relationship, a nation, a people, a blessing, and numerous offspring. It was people-centered as well. So here's the connection. Here's what we're saying. When you commit to worshiping with others, to being in community with other people on Sundays, you gain the blessings of all these relationships with other people. People that care about you, they pray for you, and they are there to help when needed, and it becomes like one giant extended family. Now, I would imagine that if you are anything like me, that you have some family members in your biological family or the family that you live with, that you have some family members that you get along with a little better than others, right? And right now you're thinking about the people you don't get along with because we tend to trend negative in our minds than positive, right? All right, so right away you go to the people you don't get along with. And you know what? Relationships in the church are no different. There's going to be some people that you connect with really easily. And there's going to be some people that maybe just like, wow, I just can't find anything in common with them. And so you're closer to some than you are to others. Hopefully, if you've been connecting with one of our small groups, you are connecting in deeper relationships and getting to know them a little bit better. And like a family, the more time we spend together, the more we make it a priority, the stronger those relationships end up being. How many of you have those relatives that you never see them? I think I've got cousins I've actually never met in my life, and I'm 43. I don't know them. I don't have relationships. Are they my family? Yes, they're my family. Would I recognize them in a crowd? No, I would not. Maybe because of Facebook, maybe. But no, I wouldn't. Are you still family if you're not here? Yeah, you're still family. You're part of God's family. Will people know who you are? That gets pretty hard, right? Just like those relatives that we never see. It's hard to keep that relationship. Now, you might be asking, okay, what do these relationships have to do with a better week, right? I see these people on Sunday. What does it have to do with a better week? I want to share a story with you. This was a Christmas Eve one year when we were living in Washington. And we woke up that morning. There had been a really bad storm. And, or was it Christmas morning, and it was a Sunday. It was one of those Christmas morning Sundays is what it was. And we woke up, bad storm the night before, one of those bad coastal storms, right? And we had water coming in our house, in our bedroom, leaking around the window, saturated carpets, the whole bit. And we're like, oh my goodness, it's Christmas morning, it's Sunday, I've got to go do a church service, and then we've got the car loaded up and we're going to family as soon as church is done. What are we going to do? Our house is leaking. So we get to church, and some people had heard about what was going on, and these two guys, Stan and Rick, I barely knew Stan and Rick. We had maybe been at the church for 2 years. They had not been there the entire 2 years. They had just started coming 6 months or so. Barely knew these guys. And they track me down in the foyer or something like that. And they say, hey, we heard about what's going on with your house. Just go spend your time with your family. We're going to take care of it. We'll tarp it and we'll take care of it. That made my week a whole lot better. Right? When we're there for one another as the people of God, it makes our week better, right? You've got somebody that you can lean on, somebody that you know is praying for you, somebody that is there, not just today when we're together, but they're there for you on Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday, I don't know. Right? These relationships are there for us when we invest in them. So Sundays bless you with better relationships with people who can make your week better too. Now, as we think about having better Sundays, a thought on this that I had is So how do we have better Sundays? How do we have better Sundays? Well, I will say planning and preparation is a big part of it, right? Better Sundays with planning and preparation. I remember times when our kids were little, and almost all of my adult life I've been on a church staff, so it was never optional on Sunday morning. And so we had to find ways to do it when our kids were little, and it was hard to get out the door, and sometimes it's hard to get teenagers out the door. And but planning and preparation makes a difference. Now, I will say this. Don't always do this great, especially when the Oregon State game is late and they're whooping up on USC, and I want to stay up and watch it, but I did go to bed when the fourth quarter was starting. So, because I it's not an option for me to fall asleep up here, right? But how about them Beavs, huh? So some Sundays are a little easier to be prepared for than others, right? But planning and preparation. Let's think about it this way. Let me put it to you this way. Think about how much, how much planning and preparation would you put into just asking somebody on a date? Or think back to the first time that you asked your spouse out on a date, man. Or if you were one of those progressive couples, ladies, the first time you asked him out on a date. The first time. And how much planning and preparation went into that? Now, one thing, I'll give you a clue, guys. She had a lot more preparation in that getting ready for that date than you did, right? Amen? Okay. Hopefully, guys, you showered, right, and put on a clean shirt, right? That's at least the bar, right? Now, what about prom? How much planning and preparation did you put into, if you, back in when you were in school, if you took somebody to prom? Oh, well, man, there was a lot. You had to go get the tickets. You had to get a tux. You had to get boutonnieres, you know, the corsage. You had all of these things in advance you had to do. You just couldn't say the day before, hey, you want to go to prom tonight? You know, it didn't work that way, right? A lot more preparation. What do we do to get ready for a Thursday? Well, you get yourself ready. You get up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you shower, you have a cup of coffee, you know, maybe you think through a few things the night before or whatever. Would it make sense that maybe since Sunday's the one day that we have for this, that like prom, maybe we put a little more effort into our planning and preparation to be ready for it? Right? It's not just one of those other days. And we do stuff to get ready for those days, maybe it would be a good plan for us to get ready in that. And then Sundays can be a better day. Maybe we find out that if I get a few other things done on Saturday, I've got time Sunday afternoon to spend with my children or my grandchildren. That I have time to rest so that I'm better the rest of the week. That I'm able to engage meaningfully in worship because I got a good night of sleep the night before. Right? Planning and preparation is a big part of it. And when we do Sundays well, it sets up the rest of our week to be a fantastic week. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your vision of rhythm and rest in your creation. And God, that you invite us into that, that it is good for us. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to identify what are those ways that we can do better, that we can embrace your purpose for this day, embrace time together in worship, embrace time with family and relationship, embrace the rest that you have for us, a physical rest, a mental rest too. God, what a gift that you give to us, that we don't have to toil and labor all 7 days, but that we can rest and trust you in that. God, help us to embrace that, for it is your good gift to us. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.